Chronicles of Narnia, Book 1, The Lion Bitch in the Wardrobe. Kitty loved the summers spent at her aunt's home in the rural mountain country. The days were warm without being hot, the nights were cool without being cold, and the days were spent wandering barefoot down slopes covered in soft grass, wading through ice-chilled creeks, discovering warrens of baby rabbits, and tasting berries growing wild in the wooded areas. But mostly Kitty spent her days in anticipation of the nights. This being her first day this summer, that anticipation was stronger than ever, for it had been 3 long seasons since she'd last adventured here. Her attic room was just as she remembered it, darkly paneled, smelling of antique wood and crisp linen. A closet to one side held all her clothes, and the large wardrobe on the other side held... Oh, that wardrobe. Kitty trembled as she unbuttoned the front of her nightgown that evening, preparing for bed. She lay under the comforter in the cool of the night, listening to the activity downstairs as her aunt closed down the house. Cool as it was, Kitty had cracked her window to let in some of the chill. It always enhanced her evenings spent here. Silence settled over the house. Kitty waited. The minutes dragged by interminably. Carefully, Kitty crept out of bed, her bare feet padding noiselessly across the hardwood floor. She opened her door, just a crack, and listened down the stairs. Straining her ears, she could just make out the gentle snoring of her aunt. Quiet as a mouse, Kitty closed the door again, latching it just in case, and then stole back to her bed, unbuttoning her nightgown as she did, pulling it over her head, and laying it neatly across the comforter. Her underpants soon followed, and Kitty stood there naked, chill bumps forming on her pale skin, as she stood in the whisper of breeze and moonlight that came through the open window, erecting her nipples into little pink pebbles. Very slowly, in case a hinge might creak, she opened the door to her aunt's attic wardrobe, revealing what she had discovered her last summer here. The deep walk-in closet hung floor to ceiling with the most exquisite of furs. Kitty couldn't see the back of the closet, it being very far back and there being no light bulb inside. She reached one hand into the closet. To look at it, one wouldn't think that there was room between all the furs to walk in. But the furs easily parted, and she felt their softness travel up her forearm. She closed her eyes and sighed, then carefully crept into the wardrobe, leaving the door open behind her, the furs swallowing her whole. Her breath came in ragged shudders as she felt her skin enveloped all over by the softness of the floor-length coat surrounding her on all sides. She spread her arms wide and then held them straight overhead, slowly twirling her body between them, feeling their softness stroke her back and her tummy, tease her thighs and round little bottom, and make her nipples throb achingly, but in a desirable way. Kitty closed her eyes and pretended that the furs were alive, caressing her intentionally, touching her waist, which was just beginning to show its promising hourglass form, teasing her still hairless sex with occasional love tickles. As she twirled slowly, she went deeper and deeper into the wardrobe, away from the door. The feelings she felt in her girlhood were returning to her just the way they had last year. She had the strongest urge to reach down and rub them away for some reason, but she held fast, keeping her arms overhead, luxuriating in the building heat, loving the cool, soft fur, stroking her stretched, taut underarms that were as smooth as the rest of her. Until suddenly, the furs weren't so much soft as they were scratchy. She opened her eyes and saw stars overhead and pine trees surrounding her, scratching at her sensitive skin. It was freezing, and there were patches of snow on the hard ground. She hugged herself to keep warm and looked back into the pine woods in panic for the door to the wardrobe, but there was nothing to see there but more trees. As terror overtook her, she heard a strange sound. Hoofbeats, as of several horses, approaching quickly and already quite close. She ducked behind a tree, but the evergreen trunks weren't thick enough to hide her entirely, and as she peered around the side, she saw the source of the sound. A sleigh, pearl white, pulled by four white horses. Driving the sleigh was a woman, pale and blonde, wearing a large white sable coat and a sable hat. Her hands were encased in white cashmere, and her boots were a shiny white leather. Kitty ducked back behind the tree as she heard the horses come to a halt. "Hello," she heard a voice call. "Hello in there." Kitty made no move, no sound. "You know I can see your bottom sticking out from behind that tree, don't you?" There was a kind of amusement in the woman's voice. "You're going to freeze if you stay in the woods like that. I can help you get warm if you like." Warm, thought Kitty, as an icy gust blew suddenly around her. Warm would be good. And the lady didn't sound like she was mean or intended to get Kitty into any trouble. Trepidatiously, Kitty peeked around the tree and saw the woman in white waving to her, smiling to her charmingly. "There you are, child. Come up here, before you catch cold." She patted the seat beside her, and, haltingly at first, but soon hurried by the cold, Kitty climbed into the sleigh. "I bet you're freezing," said the woman. "You poor little darling. Here, share my fur with me. Come, come. I won't hurt you." And she opened up the overly large white ermine coat and wrapped it around Kitty, pulling the naked little girl close to her. The motion was done too quickly for Kitty to register her astonishment that, beneath the fur and gloves and hat and boots, the pale lady was just as naked as she. Kitty could feel the heat of the lady's bum against her own as the woman snuggled her close to her side, wrapping one arm around her inside the coat. "Better?" the woman asked, smiling down at the timid redhead. "Yes, thank you," said Kitty, finding her voice. Am I in trouble?" she asked. The woman laughed musically. "Trouble? Whatever for?" She called to the horses, which began their travels again without the need for bit and bridle, so that the woman had no need to steer them, allowing her both hands to keep the coat closed about them. "Have you done anything to be in trouble for?" Kitty blushed. "The furs," she said. I was naked in them, and liking it, and..." "Well, I'm naked in my fur and liking it," the woman replied with a chuckle. "Aren't you liking it as well?" Kitty was indeed feeling much better now that she was in the fur. New as it was to feel someone naked against her, she was enjoying that feeling as well, and unconsciously melted closer to the woman. "Oh, you poor dear," the woman cooed, stroking Kitty's shoulder under the coat. "There's no crime in loving the feel of soft fur." And so saying, she found a length of ermine within the folds of the coat and began teasing it over Kitty's neck, shoulder, and sides, and back up again. Kitty moaned, closing her eyes and smiling. The fur was the softest she'd ever felt, far softer than anything in her aunt's wardrobe. "It's so soft," she said. "Yes," the woman said in a whisper. "I love the softness of it." She clasped the coat about them with a button and drew her other hand inside, with which she found another length of fur and began dragging it over Kitty's tummy. "Feeling better?" she purred. "Yes, ma'am," Kitty said dreamily. Her nipples were again erected, and the feeling in her little girl's butt had flared up unbearably. She hoped her newfound benefactor wouldn't notice such embarrassing details, hidden as they were beneath the fur. "Much better," she said with a gasp, as the lady ran the fur on her tummy up over her sensitive nipples. Her eyes fluttered open, and then rolled back. "Are you all right, dear?" the woman asked with innocent eyes, still rolling the fur over one nipple and then the other. Kitty couldn't respond as her mouth became dry. The fur on her side continued to swirl about her, teasing her bum and thigh and waist. The fur about her tits and tum also continued to pace, yet Kitty was also able to feel the woman's warm hands, one on her shoulder, the other on her thigh, coaxing her to lie back, teasing her legs open as another swath of fur somehow managed to begin swirling around her inner thighs and over her tender mound. Kitty looked up astonished at the woman beside her in the coat. The woman only smiled and then giggled. The giggle was infectious, and Kitty was soon smiling and giggling with her. "The fur appreciates being appreciated," the woman said softly with a soothing chuckle, stroking a fingertip over Kitty's smooth, formless breast, inserting it under the fur that was inexplicably moving there. "It knows it's loved by your smiles and your expressions of joy," she said. "Can you smile for me? Can you express joy?" But Kitty was already smiling and giggling. In fact, she realized she couldn't stop giggling even if she wanted to. A strip of fur laced its way in and out of the toes of her right foot, and the end of it curling under and softly stroking her insole. Kitty let out a squeal, but the fur and the lady enveloped her too tightly to wiggle. "There's a girl," the lady said with a soft giggle. "Tell me why you love the fur so."
Because it's soft," Kitty replied with a titter.
"Yes, it's soft," the woman agreed. She ran a nail in a circle around Kitty's nipple, stiffening it more.
"But so what? So it's soft. Why do you love it so?" she insisted. "How does it make you feel?"
"It feels good," Kitty said, as stretches of fur played inside the coat, sawing their way under her armpits.
"And warm," she added,
as a ball of fur began swirling over her sex, which was now made accessible as other mysterious lengths of fur had become entangled about her ankles and knees, forcing her legs apart.
"Good and warm," the woman repeated.
"Good and warm anywhere specifically?" But Kitty couldn't get her breath to reply. From toes to titties, the curious fur had crept into every ticklish crevice she had and was magically working the girl into fits of giggles. Despite feeling fur everywhere, she felt the lady's fingertips walking down her tummy toward her girlhood.
"Warm and good here?" she asked, stroking a line back and forth,
just above Kitty's mons.
"Oh, my goodness," Kitty thought. "If I tell her yes, what might happen to me?"
But the finger through all the tickling felt so good, so very good, that Kitty couldn't stop herself from dazedly nodding her head.
"Why, listen to you laugh," the woman said, giggling in amusement.
"Anyone might think that you were a ticklish little girl. Are you? Are you a ticklish little girl?" And the fingertip that had felt so good only seconds before began wiggling under the curve of Kitty's tummy, the thumb worming its way into her belly button, pinching with a gentle claw-like grab that made Kitty erupt in peals of hysterics.
"Oh, you are ticklish," the woman cried. "How adorable! How delightful!"
And her other hand reached around Kitty's back and found its way into her underarm, where the fingers began a rapid kneading of the flesh inside.
You said you wouldn't hurt me," Kitty stammered out.
"And am I hurting you?" the woman asked, feigning mild offense.
"It doesn't sound like I'm hurting you at all from the way you smile and laugh."
The length of fur at her private area had begun pushing with gentle insistence, while the fur at her nipples continued to make them ache and throb. If she hadn't been being tickled so mercilessly, Kitty would have been writhing in ecstasy instead of jiggling and bouncing with helpless tickle-induced laughter. Still, she couldn't conceal a sudden grunt of pleasure as the fur succeeded in penetrating her sex, unfurling its plush length inside her, reaching in as far as it could, filling the space inside with its exquisiteness.
"Oh, and now we're in," the lady said with satisfaction.
"I can't believe you were foolish enough to wander about naked and alone in the land of the White Queen, Alice of Verticlia, the Witch of Wicked Glee." And the smile that was once gentle was now tinged with malicious desire as those sharply nailed fingers began tweaking the sides of her hips. The fur inside her snaked about randomly, driving her young innocence closer to the brink of lust than she had ever been. I'll bet that fur feels very good and warm inside you right now, doesn't it, dear? Queen Alice asked teasingly. Well, don't get used to that. Her face began to glow white, and the full moon seemed for a moment to shine solely upon her, as she quietly intoned, Kitchiku. Without warning, the fur inside her body went from creating feelings of warmth to feelings of tickling. Her nipples suddenly tingled with sensations that forced her to laugh. It was beyond Kitty's comprehension how she could feel like that in these places, but she was laughing too hard to control even her thoughts. Gone any thoughts of desire, the witch whispered. For now, there's only the touch of laughter. See? And she brought her finger down again and began to stroke the slippery pink pearl at the top of Kitty's slit, the same one Kitty had wanted to rub earlier. Only the wiggling finger brought no relief, but rather an insanely powerful tickling that had her shrieking with laughter at the top of her young little lungs. The queen pulled away, leaving the fur to do its magic, and laughed out loud into the night. To the castle, she cried to the horses. Home from the hunt. Home with the night's spoils. Kitty could feel Queen Alice wriggling rhythmically beside her, and knew that her hands were in her lap, pleasuring herself the way she had been tempted to herself so long ago and so far away in the wardrobe of her aunt's attic. The sleigh pulled faster and faster, over the hills. Kitty's squeals of stop! Don't! And oh my! But mostly the laughter of a tickle-tormented little girl, echoing from the frosty mountains and into the empty night.